And today's message is titled, Abounding to Abundance. And I don't know about you, but I like abounding, but I want abundance. And the people of God have to understand that you are already abounding. Okay? Last week I gave you the key that abounding is not how much you have in material wealth, it is who you know. Right? If you know Jesus Christ, you should be abounding in your spiritual life. You should be abounding in getting your life in proper order with God. You should be abounding in truth. You should be abounding in the virtues or the fruit of the Spirit. And in 2 Peter, we will read from verses 9 to 11 in chapter 1. It says, but if anyone does not have these, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter is referring back to the virtues of which we understand that they are faith, because you can do nothing without faith. Then going on from there, that, I just lost my place. Knowledge, goodness, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And we've gone through and described what each one of them is supposed to look like coming from our lives. And as we increase, as we allow God to increase us, and we increase by utilizing these gifts for the betterment of the brothers and sisters, but also those who are outside of the kingdom, something wonderful happens. We begin to witness the abounding that we have in Jesus Christ. And that is the truth. It is not what our material wealth is about. It is not about our material position. It is all about where we are in Him. There we go. Better. Many believers, many immature believers, believe that in just the attaining of fruit or utilizing the spiritual gifts is an end of itself. And I'm here to tell you that is an end, but it is not the end. It is the end of relegating ourselves to an immature state to a mature state. But ultimately, these gifts and this fruit is being produced for something even greater than what we thought, which in and of itself leads us to the end. And that is God's purpose in all these things. For we personally have to have Christ formed in us first before God uses us. We have to take possession of these virtues, and we have to use these things and make these things abound in us in an increasing measure. It's no longer making the excuses of our slothful, sinful behavior. It is no longer allowing ourselves to be duped by the lies. It is operating in truth, looking at our lives realistically as how God sees them, and getting them right. You know, our deficits happen because we don't operate in truth. We don't want to look at truth. And most importantly, we don't like what we see when we look in the mirror. That is true. And so what we do is we lie to ourselves. We dupe ourselves into believing that everything is okay. And what happens is we become blinded. We become blinded to the realities of what is. We become blinded to the greater realities of life, because we're not able to look at truth in its purity. We have to abound in all these things because God produces additional things, as we are abounding. As we abound in fruit, as we abound in utilizing the spiritual gifts, and you can see them in either Galatians 5, 25 or 1 Corinthians 11. You can see how these things are supposed to be interacted and practiced amongst the brethren out there, not contained within the church. All you have to do is see how Jesus used them. Just look at his life and see how he used them. He didn't use them in the synagogue. He used them every day with everyday people. And we have bought into this misconception that as long as I'm practicing them here, I must be mature. The fact that you're not practicing them out there proves how immature you are. You see, God wants to produce vision, security, and abundance in our lives. And if we are not having those things, if we are not abounding in the elementary things, we will not see and be able to comprehend what God is doing and what he wants to do in our lives. We will become blind to the real truths and purposes of God, that what he has for us individually and collectively, which will eventually affect our destiny. And I don't know about you, and talking with Dan last night, he and I are in complete agreement. We have been so close so many times that we want God to manifest like never before. And for me, I want us to be the beginning of this tsunami of this Spirit, this last move of God. I don't want us to be just on the cutting edge or being a part of something that has already happened. I want us to be on the cusp of it, the forefront. And I believe that when you read the vision, you will see what I'm talking about. To abound is to come into the knowledge of how richly and well supplied we are already have in Jesus Christ. Do you lack? Then you have to find it in Jesus Christ. You can't find it through people, material wealth. Your lack is created because you have lack of faith in the God who has created you. You don't have fruit because you have lacked the faith to appropriate it properly in Jesus Christ. And what Peter is trying to get us to understand is that the truer things that are coming for us all starts here. Because when we go out there, there's going to be many false prophets, many false apostles, many false lying teachers out there to take away what God has freely given to us to lead us into apostasy. And I know that he doesn't want that. When we learn to abound in God, we will learn to enjoy his presence in worship, in everyday life. We won't be dry. We will be that tree that's planted by the river of living waters, bearing fruit. Because God is producing this, not us. And we have to understand that there's more. Vision. Baby Christians cannot see very well or very far. When they are born again of the Spirit, their eyes are not very attuned to spiritual truths. And so when we share spiritual truths with baby Christians, it's like a brand new revelation. It's like, wow, man, I never saw that before, dude. But if you're a baby Christian, because you have not learned to abound, then what's happening is when you look at truth, you are looking at it squintingly. You can't really look at the light of the truth. You can't see the gospel because it is so blinding. You have not matured enough to realize that there are deeper things that God wants. It's like looking at the sun without any kind of shades filters in order to look at the sun properly. And what happens is you look at the sun and you begin to squint, and the longer you look at it, it begins to hurt your eyes. The fact of it is, the longer you look at it, the more damage that you create to ultimately you will become blind. And this simple truth that you have to understand, remaining a child and a baby for a long period of time, you will become blind to the truths and the realities that Jesus has wanted for His church, His end time church, to grow up into. And the fact of it is that when you become blind, you will stumble and you will fall. And Peter tells us that if you increase in these things, you won't stumble and you won't fall. You will be effective for God and you will do great exploits for Him because you're maturing, you're growing up. So vision is very important. The unsaved are already blind to the truth of God. Their minds are darkened by the evil one. They can't open themselves up to God because their eyes are not open to truth. They're already blind. And we could sit there, and I love going to the mall at times, watching people walk side by side, seeing how miserable they are, walking through the mall, thinking that they're going to find something there that's going to make them happy. And the only thing that makes them happy is Jesus, and they can't see Him. They can't comprehend the light when we share truth with them. You ever try sharing the gospel and people are looking at you like, you are nuts. They're absolutely nuts. And what they do is say, well, your life isn't right. Woe to us. Our response should be, I'm not perfect yet, but I am allowing God to work in my life. And where I was and where I am, it's like night and day. We don't excuse our sin. We don't cover it up. We don't pretend it's not there. We acknowledge truth to help them to see the light that is emanating from our lives so that they can see that it is possible to begin to stand into this. Many a believer in Jesus Christ can see only the light that is based on their belief system. In other words, I've met many a Christian that is not affiliated in a church. And they read the scriptures, and because there is no balance, they formulate their own Christianity. And they can only believe based on that, but they're not having iron sharpening iron. They're not able to comprehend because the truth that they see is only relegated to their ability to comprehend. They are still remain immature. Then there's still others that see the light, but I can only comprehend it from a denominational position. They have life, and most of, if you look at church history, most denominations are formed because they have received a restorative vision of truth that was lost to the church previously. You look at Luther. What was Luther's thing? The just shall live by faith. Not by the papal see, not by the corruption of the priesthood. The just shall live by faith. Calvin took that a little bit further. The Anabaptists took it even further. And for 900 years, God had been restoring truth, that the most truth was restored out of the Welsh Revival, which was the Holy Spirit doing the work in man, to the point where the Welsh Revival poured out into America and the Spirit poured out in Azusa Street in 1908 and birthed the modern day Pentecostal movement, which is Four Square Gospel or Assemblies of God. That's where their roots are from, Azusa Street. And from that, we've had the Fathers of Faith, Kenneth Hagin, restoring faith to the church to the point where God was restoring to the church fivefold ministry, of which in the 70s was restoration of the idea of fivefold ministry. The 80s was the restoring process of the prophetic and prophets to the church, which they have already always been. It's just now the eyes of the church have been able to open and comprehend, to where in the 90s and to present day is the great apostolic move or the restoring of the apostles to the church. Those who are caught in denomination cannot understand, cannot comprehend the light that is there. They can only understand it from their denomination's position. They can only see their needs, and they fail to see the needs of the lost, according to John 4:35. And then there's still other believers out there that are boastful and proud because of their material wealth that they've acquired. God must be with us because He's blessing us with all this stuff. God must be with us because we have all this. Well, that was the failure of the Pharisees when they equated their prosperity to God's blessing. And Jesus corrected them. He said, "You're nothing but whitewashed tombs filled with dead men's bones." And he says he told us in Revelation 3 that they were poor, they were naked, they were wretched, and most importantly, they were blind. They couldn't see the truths of the end time move of God. And it's a great tragedy for believers not to increase in Christ-like character because they started out well. But in the end, you see, what counts is the end. These individuals fell into apostasy. And they were lost. You see, they forgot what God had done for them. Are we going to forget what God has done for us? How He whispered, "Dan, Nikki, Gary, Jesse, come to me." And we responded. Are we going to forget how He saved us? That He saved us from the foundation. That He predestined mankind to have salvation, of which He allowed us free will to decide for ourselves whether we wanted salvation through faith in what He has provided or to live our lives the way we saw fit. How He cleansed us from our sin by the blood of our King. How He regenerated our spirits with His very own spirit. How He adopted us into His family. And how He wants to adopt the whole world. And they need to hear this. They need to hear this. And if you find yourself in a state of stasis or a place of just holding and not growing one way or another, then I encourage you to come and rededicate yourself to Christ. Because if you don't see where you are at, you will not have security, which is the next thing I want to talk about. You have insecurity because you don't know when you're going to fall, but you know you're going to fall. I just told you that because you're blind to the estate of where you are. To grow and walk in the light, our confidence increases. We are able to then begin to comprehend the light. We are able to see the light. We're able to behold the Lord of glory. You see, it isn't how much we know about Jesus. It is, do you know Jesus? Do you know Him intimately? Because that's what the knowledge is about. It's knowing Him. It's getting to know Him better. Or are we in danger of backsliding, falling into apostasy? You see, our confidence grows because we are able to see how we're in jeopardy of backsliding. And our backsliding condition starts in our disobedience to the truth that we know what God has said for us to do and our unwillingness to do that. God wants us to get our lives corrected and lined up with Him. Why? Because He wants to send you to the nations. He wants to send you to a place where you haven't been before. He wants to use your life. God can't use me. Well, I guess not. With that attitude, He's not going to use you. This church ain't going to grow. I guess not, because you got an attitude that you're not going to do your job. You see, it's not my job. My job is to train you up. You've been trained, so now you need to do your job. And we need to eliminate this mindset that God works for us. That mind must be pulled down. He is not God in a box. We don't rob it and then he does what we want him to do. He is God. And he created us to do his will and his good pleasure. That's the truth. And right now there is a great need of getting his gospel out in these days. How are they going to get saved if there's no one who's going to share the good news? And you guys have been here long enough to know the good news. Now you need to go and take it to the highways and compel them to come. If not, we will eventually stumble and fall. We will become disqualified. And our first position will be nothing like the ruin that we will suffer, because in not doing our job and not realizing the truth and looking at the light and really realizing what the truth of it is, we don't have vision to see what's going on, and we definitely don't have security. You're only as secure as your relationship to Jesus Christ. Do you want to stand there in front of him and say, God, I did this for you. I did that for you. And he says these horrible words. I never knew you. They're horrible. To stand there in front of thousands upon thousands of saints through the ages and God say, I don't know you. Who are you? What a tragedy. To expect to enter into the kingdom. And he not know you. To do the work that God has for us, we must first cooperate with his Holy Spirit. It's a matter of our will being yielded to God. And I told the leaders today, I don't want to do this thing. I don't need another building. I don't need another project to do. I got enough going on in my life. Not my will be done, your will be done, God. Not my will be done. I'm here to serve you, Lord. What is it that you want? He wants to bless streams. He wants to plant streams in the community. He wants streams to have a base of operation. And you have to see that God wants to do this thing. He wants to win the lost before the end comes. Because you see, if we fall into a state of apostasy, what we have done is we have taken the grace of God and we have thrown it away. We have used it for vainglory. And God is not about to waste his glory or his grace on ingrates. And that last great day, what happens is it will be judgment day for the church of Jesus Christ. And my heart is that he would say to all of us, well done, streams. Well done. You guys did an admirable wealth of work with what you had. You didn't have the most and the latest things, but what you had, you used for the building of the kingdom. You used it. We didn't bury it. We didn't keep it to ourselves. We used it. And Peter says that because we have vision and because we have security, when we check out of Hotel 6, we will have the abundance. He says we have the abundance at the entrance into heaven. An abundance. Do you realize what he's telling us? He's saying that each one of us, when we check out of here and we go into glory and we have done all we possibly can for God in this world, it is like we are going to stand there, enter into heaven at the gates, and there is this chariot. And when we go through the gates of heaven, there is going to be such a ticker tape type of a reception for you. All the saints that have passed on will be praising and cheering God for what you have done. This is the abundance that he's talking about. He's not talking about some humdrum thing where, oh, Peter's up there looking at you. Okay, enter in. No, you can't go. Oh, yeah, come on. Okay, we'll snap your ticket. No. He is going to lavish a special parade for you. In front of all the demons that he defeated, All the stuff that you've gone through that you thought wasn't worthwhile, but you continued on, pressing through, doing those things that God has told you to do. You have done these things because there is a reception that's going to be waiting for you, that all the saints in heaven are waiting for this end time church to arise and move in the things of God, move in power, move in might, move in glory. And then as you're going through this thing, you come before the throne of God Almighty. You are being presented to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, where He will say to you, I am so proud of you. Well done, my good and faithful servants. Well done. And he will make a big deal out of what we have done. He will make a big deal out of your life because you allowed Him to use your life for His purpose. What a thrill. What a blessing that should be for all of us. Just think about it. Do you want to stand there and have nothing, just have to walk through on your own? Or do you want your life to account for something more than what you could ever ask or imagine and really affect people's lives, and that God throws this special party for you, for us? Yeah, we're waiting for the feast, the marriage feast of the Lamb. Yeah, we're going to get married, the whole nine yards. But in the meantime, we're preparing, the bride is getting ready. And part of getting ready is telling everybody, get ready. We're almost out of here, dudes, dudettes, pastors, pastorettes. This is not the time to fall back on our laurels and what we have already done. Now is the time to continue to press on. It's almost over. Knowing that you got this parade waiting for you. You got this great parade. Well, Pastor, you know, all I do is pray. The greatest honor is for those who pray in secret, that God would reward them openly. You see, prayer means a lot to the King. Prayer means that the King is listening to you. Not that you're asking God to do something, but God, what is your will? What is it that you want Streams to do? How do you want us to proceed with obtaining this building? It's like, oh God, you know, I know this is a wonderful thing, God, and really, you know, I really think it's great, but you know what? When we have the building, can we have purple and green, like, all over the place? And, you know, I really think flowers would be wonderful all over. Really? Could we have an interior decorator, God? I mean, I know that's your will for us because you want us to lavish everything and be so beautiful. I'm making fun because that's how the saints pray. The truth of it is, God, what is your will? What is it that you want us to do? How is it that you know, you want pastor to move in this thing? What is the proposal that you have, Lord? That you want pastor to submit to this man, that we would have favor. God, I pray that you prepare this man's heart to receive that which you have given to us, God. We thank you, God. We call this thing a done deal, Lord, in Jesus' name. You see the difference? And you're praying in secret. And then God does what you're asking because you're seeking His will. And guess what? When it happens, I don't know about you, but I get excited when He answers my prayer. And it has nothing to do with being aligned with Him, making your life count. Well, I'm not an evangelist. Well, we're not asking you to evangelize. We're asking you to seek God for your life. What is it that He wants? Why? What is your purpose here? You know, is your purpose just to take up space? Well, then Paul says, you know, you might as well just check out because you're no good to us here. Check out, you know. Your job here is to get saved so you can get somebody else saved. That our lives can count for the King and for the kingdom. If you have no vision, then you have not learned to abound. If you're learning to abound, then you should be able to start having vision. Because in vision, now you become secure. Because you know that your vision is secure in Him. You see, it's not what you have, it's who you know. It's not where you are, it's what you do for Him as He tells you to do these things. And He starts with our lives. If I'm serious about God, and I am, then when He tells me that my life is out of whack, I need to find out through His Word, His truth, His light, find out what He says. If I don't understand, I'm supposed to go to somebody and find out, right? Then I'm supposed to be obedient to what God has said to do, because that's the measure of success for our lives. And when we have that, then we have vision, then we have security, and then we know that at the end of everything, we have this great abundance of exhilarating fanfare that God promises us before we enter into the marriage feast of the Lamb. We need to stop waiting for rapture. We need to be about Father's business. Father's business is what? That the Church of Jesus Christ declare the wonders of His Son and the kingdom that He has prepared for all who receive His Son. That doesn't mean we become confrontational to those who believe in whatever. What it means is it is okay for them to believe what they want to believe. That is called free will. But we have the right before God to convince them that what they believe is wrong. They choose to believe that after we've done all we know to do to convince them to come into the family of God, then that's all we do. We move on to the next one. But there are those that God has prepared their hearts for us to go and share and bring in. He has said to us, go and compel them to come. That is our job. That is our commission. That is what Streams is about. And we need to be about that. It doesn't matter if we're talking in ShopRite or with our husbands or wives that don't know Christ, friends, neighbors, whoever. We just need to tell them. Amen? Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You, God. You lavish upon us, God, great and awesome things, God. And Father, I thank You for this opportunity, Lord, this building. You know how I've wrestled with it, Lord. You know how I don't want to do this, but not my will be done, Your will, God. I want my life to count for You, Lord. I want my life to be an example to the saints. That is where I sacrifice, God, that they would have confidence to sacrifice. That, God, Your ways are not troublesome. Your ways are not arduous. Your ways lead us to truth and righteousness. Your ways are good and prosperous. Your thoughts and intents and plans for our lives is to create abundance in everything that we would say or do, God. Father, forgive us for being slothful. Forgive us for having a mindset that we're only here for You to serve us, God. Forgive us for having such a childish mindset, Lord. Help us to look into Your truth, God, and comprehend the light. Help us to be drawn closer to You, Lord. Help us to dedicate our lives, God, to move on and make them count, whether it's just for our children, whether it's just for our extended family members, our employers, whoever it is, God. Provide us opportunity, Lord. Holy Spirit, go before us and provide us with that opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to build Your kingdom before the end comes, God. May our lives not be in vain, that our lives be for Your glory in all things that we say or do, God. Be to Your praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.